Okay, do you have Ephesians 5? If you do, would you stand with me, please? I'm going to read starting in verse number 5. Verse 5, Ephesians 5, verse 5. The Bible says, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye, therefore, partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I'd like for us to read that eighth verse out loud together, so I'll give the reference. You just jump in and read it. We'll stay together as we do so. Ephesians 5:8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Thank you. You may be seated. This passage lays out, as many passages do, two distinct positions spiritually of people in this world. In this passage of Scripture, it talks about darkness and light. Other places, the Bible talks about death and life. If we were to translate this into our own common vernacular today, we would talk about those who are lost and those who are saved. But notice here it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We heard this morning from 1 John chapter 5, and especially verse 13, but all through that passage. And verse 12 tells us, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." It's another verse of Scripture that just simply lays out there are two spiritual positions in this world. There is darkness, there is not life. There is light, there is life. So light correlates to life, darkness correlates to not having life. The Bible tells us, as we heard in the first service, that the way you know which position you're in has everything to do with your faith. John 3:36 is another verse that lays out two spots. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So if we were to lay these out in two distinct positions in our mind and illustrate just positionally as we look at it, you would have one side that is darkness, the other side is light. That side that is darkness you could also describe as death, the other side is life. You have the side that is not believing in Jesus. You have the side that is believing in Jesus Christ as the way of salvation. Now, young people, you've heard about this already quite a bit in this camp, and there's a reason for it, and that's because understanding the difference between these two spiritual positions is the most important thing you'll ever understand in your life. You've got to understand that there is darkness and there is light. There is death and there is life. You've got to understand that so that you can make sure that you yourself are in the right position spiritually before God. Now, as we think about this morning from this passage, let's consider two questions that will help us really understand everything that is being said here. Here's my first question. How do you get from one to the other? How do you get from one to the other? Now notice that the Bible here in verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." The implication is that in the past, you were in the spiritual position of darkness, but now you're in the spiritual position of light. And so at some point in time, he's saying to these people, you went from one position to the other position. You went from darkness to the light. Now look, this is important. That's the only direction you can go. Nobody ever starts out in the light. Nobody ever is born into this world already in a good enough position spiritually with God. We are all born in darkness with the need to be moved to a new position of light. Turn back a page if you need to chapter 2. In chapter 2, using the idea of death and life instead of darkness and light, the Bible says in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Do you notice that he talks about past tense? He says, this is where you were. This is how it was in time past. This is what your position was, and you walked accordingly. You lived in a way that matched the position of the death that you lived in. And if you read continuing on through Ephesians 2, you will find out that you can be transported from the death to the life by God's grace at that moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. So you have these two positions, and getting from one to the other is always from the direction of darkness to light. It's always in the direction of death to life. Why is that? Because every one of us are born spiritually in the position of darkness, spiritually in the position of death. That's where we all are. And that's why we are sharing these things with you. In case you have not yet made your spiritual move from lost to saved, from on your way to hell to on your way to heaven. That is so important to understand. So understand that it always is from darkness to light, and then understand again that it is always a matter of believing. We heard that this morning from 1 John 5. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Well, how do you know if you have Jesus? Well, how do you know you have any gift? The Bible says Jesus is a gift. So how do you know you have any gift? Well, what does John 1:12 say? As many as received him, that's what you do when you get a gift, right? As many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, I've seen sometimes people describe, well, the way you can be saved is first you've got to receive him, and then you've got to believe him, and then you've got to... No, that's complicating it. The decision to receive Christ is equal to the decision to believe on, to depend upon, to rely upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior. So how do you have eternal life? 1 John says, "These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know." So how do you get from the position of death to life? Believe in Jesus as your Savior. How do you get from the position of darkness to light? Rely upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior. That is the way to do it. That is the only way to do it. You cannot do it any other way. You can't do it on your own. In the book of Ephesians, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Faith in whom? Faith in Jesus. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." There is nothing you can do to get yourself moved from darkness to light aside from putting your trust in Jesus Christ to do it for you. He's the only one that can. He's the only one that will. And so the Bible is very clear about that. How do you get from one to the other? Okay, now let's ask a second question, though, this morning. How can one act like the other? Because that's actually what's really being emphasized in Ephesians 5. It says, "For you are sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." In other words, you used to be in the darkness. Now you're in the light, so act like it. Take steps like it. Look like it. Be like that. Make sure that what you are doing with your life matches the position that you are now in. So how can one position act like the other? Let's consider it both ways. Could someone who is in darkness They are in spiritual death. Could they do things that look good? Is that possible? Yes, it is. All right. Maybe they go to church. Maybe they are kind to their neighbors. We have a lot of neighbors around here. Some of them have been very kind to us. I don't know that they know the Lord, but they can show an act of kindness. Someone who is lost can do that. Can they treat God reverently to some extent? Could they feel like, you know, I think it'd be wrong to take God's name in vain, or I think it'd be wrong to make fun of the Bible or make fun of church? Could a lost person do things that sort of act like a saved person? Yes, they could. Now, here's the question. Does it do them any good? Is there any worth to that? Now, the Bible has all sorts of commandments for what we are supposed to do, what would please God, what would not please God. But the Bible is very clear that if we keep all the commandments that God ever gives, and yet James says we offend in one point, then we are guilty of all of them. So here is a guy, and he's kind. He is good to his neighbors, and he has a certain respect for God. But, you know, he's lazy. Or he just takes advantage of certain people in certain situations. Or he's just kind of proud of himself and everything that he's accomplished. Well, he's kept some of the commandments, but he's not kept all the commandments. Has that done him any spiritual good? Is that going to get him moved from one spiritual position to the other? The question is, no, it's not going to do him any good at all. So here's the deal. When the darkness acts like the light, that is worthless. You got it? So when the darkness acts like the light, that is what?
Worthless.
Okay, one more time. It is?
Worthless.
So when the darkness acts like the light, it's worthless because it doesn't gain any favor with God. All right, now let's consider it in reverse. Is it possible for someone who has been saved, someone who has been moved from death to life, to do things that really act like they've not been saved? Is it possible for them to not be kind to their neighbor? Is it possible for them to be lazy? Is it possible for them to take God's name in vain? Is that possible? Now, you know, some people say, no, it's not possible. But if it were not possible, there'd be no point to the passage that we read today. Because the Bible says very clearly that those who are saved need to be very careful not to act like they are not saved. Look at some of the examples that are mentioned here. It says in verse number 3 of chapter 5, but fornication, that's a bad sin, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as to become a saint. Now, if somebody who is a saint did not have the ability to be a fornicator or the ability to be covetous, what would be the point in telling him not to do it? Doesn't that make sense? The whole reason the command is there assumes the fact that we could be guilty of those sins ourselves. Looking on, it says in verse number 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now who's the ye and who's the them? Okay, so he's talking to people who have moved from death to life. Remember chapter 2? He said, you used to be in death, and in times past, and here's what you were, but now here's what you are. What you are is saved by the grace of God, so don't ye be partakers with them. Well, how would you, as a believer, be a partaker with them? It's simple, by doing the things they would do. Do you know people that are lost? Maybe you know some young people in your school. Maybe you know some young people in your neighborhood, in your family, your extended family, whatever. Do you know people that are lost? Do they ever do things that surprise you? Like, wow, I can't believe he just lied like that. All right, you ever have something like that happen? Or he just stole that. Or He just like slugged that guy for no good reason. Okay, well, here's the deal. Why should that surprise us? If they're lost, what do you expect lost people to do? Things that are wrong, right? What happens when they do something that's good? Well, that's sort of a, I don't know. To us, we consider it a bonus, but we already established that when the darkness acts like the light, it's worthless. Okay, so when we see the darkness act like darkness, you got to admit that's what you would expect. But what do you think when you see the light act like darkness? When you see those who are already saved, who are already in the light, who've already spiritually moved, but they are doing things that would make more sense for the unsaved world to do, what do you do with that? What do you think about that? I'll tell you what you think about that. You say, well, that's not the way it should be. It's not becoming, as the verse says here in this passage. It doesn't become saints. It does not look appropriate for those who have already been moved from death to life, from light, from darkness to light, to act like those that are still in darkness. Here's the deal. If when the darkness acts like the light, it's worthless. When the light acts like the darkness, that's called worldliness. Now, how many of you have ever heard that word before, worldly or worldliness? Okay, a lot of you have. And of course, the obvious connotation is, young person, don't be worldly. And maybe you thought, well, I don't want to be worldly, but I'm not even exactly sure what that means to be worldly. Well, in this passage of Scripture, there would be a number of illustrations. For instance, verse 3 says that we are not to have fornication named even once among us. So if there is a Christian person, young or old, but they live in their life fornication, sexual impurity, immorality, however you would want to appropriately say it, and they are living that way, that is worldly. Now, if the world does it, is it right? No, it's not right, but it is what you'd kind of expect. But when a Christian person does it, it's still not right, and it's also not what you would expect, because that is worldly. It is world-like. It is what you would expect of the world. So if you are in the light, then don't live like you're in the darkness. Look at verse 4. You say, well, I don't think that I'm really worldly like that sort of fornication. Well, verse 4 says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor, here's an interesting one, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Okay, look this way. What does the Bible mean when it says jesting? Well, if you know what the word means at all, you know that it sparks the idea of a jester, or like in the old days, you know, King Arthur's court, you had a court jester, somebody who would just be like a clown, somebody to get people to laugh. Okay, so the idea of the word is to be humorous. Okay, is it talking about the fact that it's wrong to be humorous? No, the implication is that you would be humorous, but about things that are not really funny, about things that are not really appropriate. So the Bible says, look, don't allow there to be fornication, because if there is fornication, then that is world-like, that is worldly. But the Bible goes on in the next verse to say, it's not really any different than when you tell jokes that aren't appropriate. When you jest about things, or you say things in such a way where you are implying a particular humorous meaning to it, but it's kind of, for lack of better words, dirty, that's not what you'd expect a Christian to do. And so if a Christian is participating in that type of activity, then they're worldly. Then they are acting in worldliness. So when the darkness acts like the light, it's worthless. But when the light acts like the darkness, that's worldly. And here is what Paul says in verse 7, be not ye partakers with them. So don't act like them. And that is why verse number 8 says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you children of light. Walk as children of light." Here's the simple idea. You used to be in the world, you used to be in darkness, but now you're saved. So act like it. Don't be worldly. Don't be doing things you'd expect to see them to do. You say, "Well, I'm not sure I know exactly what I would expect them to do." Well, I think you can think about it a little bit and figure out that there are certain things that are right and wrong that the Bible is clear about. And when you see the unsaved world do it, you say, "Well, yep, that's just the way the world is." So don't act that way. Don't be worldly. Don't be involved in that. Don't be partakers with that. As a matter of fact, verse 12 says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Now look, guys and girls, here's the deal. We don't have a lot of shame in our world today. We think anything's okay. Anything is fine. Just whatever you want to do, it's fine. Not everything is fine. There are things that are right, and there are things that are wrong. And if you are saved by Bible authority, you ought to act like it. You ought to live like it. You ought to look like it. You ought to think like it. You ought to speak like it. There is something expected of you as a believer because you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. So here's the question for you. Are you worldly? Well, I know I only gave you really two illustrations this morning, the idea of fornication and the idea of really dirty humor. But that's a place where you could start thinking about it. And honestly, any sort of sin that might be mentioned in a week of camp, or even something else that God would bring to your mind, those are things that you could consider worldly, but those are things that you ought to understand ought not be in your life because God has changed you. If you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, you're light. So act like the light that you are. Let's bow for prayer.